It is Valentine's Day weekend. I know all y'all know that, right, guys? Don't you know that? Today, yeah. First time it's fallen on a Sunday in a while. Let's see, if I did my math right, 38 years ago, Debbie and I were engaged this weekend. So I guess that's right, yes, 38 years ago, because we've been married 36 later this year. It just seems like yesterday, though. But happy Valentine's Day. We're not going to just talk about couples. We're going to talk about relationships. And I realized this morning when I was going over this again that, whoa, this won't happen in one day, all right? So when we quit in the middle, you say, he just cut that off. I had to. All right, because we can't finish today. We'll finish it one week, neither next week or the next week, because to try to understand the relationships, especially between male and female, you got to go back before it all got messed up to try to understand it. So that's what we're going to do. As Forrest Gump said, relationships are tough, aren't they? All kind of relationships. I got it. Somebody sent me an email of an old couple sitting in two chairs, and she was 80 years old, and she was in front of the judge, actually, in Cincinnati, because she had stole some canned goods out of the grocery store. So she was before the judge, and the judge asked her, said, "What'd you steal?" She said, "I stole a can of peaches." He said, "Okay, how many were in the can?" She said, "Six." He said, "Okay, tell you what I'm going to do. Since there were six in there, I'm going to give you 6 days in jail." This was a while back, by the way, when people went to jail, all right? They don't go to jail anymore over anything. He said, "Okay." And then the man raised his hand and said, Judge, can I say something?" He said, "Sure you can. What is it?" He said, "She also stole a can of peas." You never know what you got sometimes, right? Relationships, they can be tough. My true love brought me flowers tonight, and I'm all smiles and song. I guess I'm doing something right, or he's done something wrong. Hey? When Harold was a pastor, he was preaching a sermon, and the week before, on Valentine's Day, he was preaching on forgiveness and patience and understanding. And during the next week, he had formed up his little walkway around his house, and he was pouring cement. And when he went to the back to get some other tools, he walked back around there, and one of the little neighborhood boys had walked right through his cement, wet cement. So he kind of let the boy know in the nicest way possible that ain't good. And one of his church members, who was a neighbor, heard him and said, "Well, what happened to all your advice last Sunday on us being forgiving and understanding?" And after a few moments, he said, "You know, it's a lot easier to love in the abstract than it is in the concrete." It's tough. We have a serious problem today that started a long, long time ago. But the problem is, most people do not want to realize what the problem is, because if you're going to deal with the problem, you got to first admit it, and then to overcome it, sometimes it's tough. You know, just like a child, when you're trying to teach them to behave, if you're not willing to pay the price to leave wherever you are with them and go home at the price of everybody losing their meal, nobody wants to pay that price, right? You just let them scream and holler, when you should yank them up and walk out with them and let them not eat for a couple of days. That's what you're supposed to do. Nobody wants to pay that price, right? Isn't that right? Right. I mean, that's always the way it is, that it costs a lot to try to do the right thing. And what we're going to do is we're going to back up to Genesis, because that's where this mess started, and we still have a mess today, as we're going to see in a few weeks anyway. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. God created human beings. He created us in his image. And he made us male and female. Boy, that one's under attack right now. If we've never seen it quite like that as it is right now. But, you know, a lot of people that even have a Bible in their hand said, oh, no, you know, that's really not correct. And I'm thinking, what? Well, I'll try to be nice on that one, all right? C.S. Lewis wrote this a long time ago about love and relationships and how to make it work. He said, don't waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you love your neighbor. As soon as we do this, we find out one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them. If you inquire or if you injure someone you dislike, you'll find yourself disliking them more. If you do them good, you'll find yourself disliking them less. Wow. Boy, that's right. Man and woman, before the fall. Have you ever thought about that? What it would have been like in paradise? That's what the Garden of Eden was. What it would have been like in paradise before sin came and messed everything up. A lot of people get confused on that because, number one, they don't believe in the Garden of Eden. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in God. So they have nothing to work with whatsoever. But if you believe that we are made in God's image and he created us and there was a perfect environment called the Garden of Eden, what was it like between man and woman relationships back then? What was that like? That's what we're going to look at quickly in Genesis again. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took out of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. In the rib which Jehovah God had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her into the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, that is the context, all right? How were man and woman supposed to relate to each other before sin entered the picture? That's what you have to think back and say, you know, when you look at what's messed up now, how was it before it got messed up? You need to go back there before the wreck and see what it was supposed to be like, and it gives us an idea of what it's supposed to be now. What did manhood and womanhood look like before sin distorted them into what we see today? And if you're not aware of that yet, there's a lot of problems in relationships everywhere, in church, out of church, all over the place. Part of the answer is both are created in the image of God, man and woman. They're both to enjoy equality of personhood, equality of dignity, mutual respect, harmony, and a unified destiny, both. That's important to understand that up front. The men and women have unique responsibilities. Here's where you start to get in all that stuff where this day and time, everything's the same. And it never was that way, and it's not supposed to be that way. And when it is that way, that's how one of our problems arises. It wasn't supposed to be the same, and now it's, I don't understand this still. If someone could explain it to me, I'd appreciate it. It doesn't really matter if it's two men or two women. When they get together, why does one of them act like the woman and one act like the man? Can anybody explain that to me? I don't understand. You know, you got two men and you have two women, and always one of them, always, one of them portrays the man and one portrays the woman, and one portrays the man and one, it doesn't really matter. So what's going on there? There's something down deep in there. Why do they want to do that? Why? God put that in them. It's just been distorted. Do they have unique responsibilities? Absolutely. That's what we're going to see quickly. Within the equality of personhood and the equality of dignity, there might be some special responsibilities that God gave the man and that God gave the woman. It doesn't put one in a superiority over the other one. It doesn't affect how much God thinks of each one. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. They just have different responsibilities. The man has because he is man, and thou woman has because she's woman. Just because of that. Mutual respect means finding special ways that a man is to respect a woman in special ways that a woman is respect a man. And eventually, not this week, but next week, we'll go back to it. And when you see the very curse that took place, it's an exactly laid out plain as day why we have problems now. That's what the curse was. He said, this is what you're going to do, and this is what you're going to do. And that's exactly what our problem is. But if you go back behind it, that's not the way it was in the beginning. Sin messed all that up. Does equality of personhood and mutuality of respect demand sameness of responsibilities? No. Our liberal friends would say, oh, yeah, it's all the same now. And they try to go to that text in New Testament, well, you know, there's no longer Greek. What are you telling me? And it says there's no longer Jew. You mean tell me there's no more Jews in this? There's no Jews this day and time? You say, oh, absolutely. Exactly. That is not what he's saying. And that's not what this means. There is a difference. And God created it that way. Or even equal access to all responsibilities. No. There's some things that God demands from the man. He doesn't demand from the woman. There's some things God demands from the woman. He doesn't demand from the man. Absolutely not. Or did God intend from the very beginning that our equality be expressed differently? Yes. We don't get that now. By and large, society doesn't get it. Yes, I did. In the way we relate to each other as man and woman. Responsibilities. Now, when Jesus and Paul start talking about the marriage relationship and relationship, look what they do. They don't start in the mess we're in. They always go back to the way it was in the beginning. That's what he says right here, right? When they go to the Old Testament to answer questions, Jesus himself and Paul, how a man and woman should relate to each other, they always go back to the things as they were supposed to be in the beginning. This is the way God sent it to be. If you leave off that baseline, you don't have anything to compare it to today. You know when you're doing some medicine stuff, you know, they always, before they start treating you, they get a baseline to know if they do anything, what it changes. If you don't have that to go back to, then you can pretty much do what society does now. Anything goes. And nobody has a guideline to follow. That's what they did. They went back to the beginning. They don't take the messed up relationship in chapter 3 and use it as the norm. Well, that's just the way it is. Oh, no, they said, that ain't the way it was. Oh, it got messed up. But that ain't the way God intended it, and that ain't the way it's supposed to be. So if you want to try to fix it, you got to remember, this is the way it was before it all got messed up. They come back to Genesis 2 and talk about how it should have been from the beginning, how it was in the beginning, and how it should be. A lot of people get confused on that. Boy, are we confused now? Whew, it's just almost unimaginable how somebody's brain could lead them to where they are now in some of the stuff that they think is all right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I forgot her name. Alice is her first name. She said her and her son had identical station wagons. Y'all know what a station wagon is? I don't know if they make them anymore. They make SUVs now. Used to be a station wagon was a big four-door car, and then they had an extra thing at the back, all right? Bigger than an SUV. Lot bigger than an SUV, right? Yeah, some of y'all rode in those in the back, you know. Well, they had identical ones. So she was taking the kids in the morning, and what happened was she had a little fender bender. She could still drive hers, but it was messed up. So she would drive hers in the morning and his in the afternoon. Identical cars. So it comes to the end of the week, and one of the guys said, I just can't help but ask. I hope no one was hurt in your accident, but I just want to know, who does your body work? How you get it fixed that quick? He didn't understand. Most people have no clue what relationships would be because they don't ever go back to the very beginning. It was a joke we were talking about a while ago, but Michael Knowles was discussing Columbus and the history of America, and this guy got up to ask him, and he was kind of, you know, saying, well, you know, that's what you believe, but these other sources, and Knowles asked him, stop. What other resources are you talking about? Well, I didn't have any experience. He said, right, you don't have any. If you go back over there and you just find one, and he says there is one that exists, and there's one that the one who hated him wrote, and that's the only one else you're going to find. Once you go back over there and find that and come back and give it to me, and I might change my mind. People don't ever go back to this. Well, I feel. So what? How you feel don't have a thing to do with it. That's what he says. They said, they go back to the very beginning and said, this is the way it's supposed to be. All right, just want to keep straight, Paul. Jesus said both of them. That's what they said. It teaches that there are special responsibilities that come with being a male. And there's special responsibilities that come with being a female. And when you go swapping those, you got the mess we're in now. That's it. Here's the answer, all right? I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer. The answer is Christianity through Christ was to how to fix it. Okay, you might not get the answer to next week, so I'm going to go ahead and throw that in for you, all right? And we're going to see how Christ modeled through Christianity. How many times did he refer to the church as his bride? The marriage supper of the Lamb. That'll all unfold next week or do next week. And that's what it was. It was to show the rest of the world what this is supposed to be like and how you fix it. You know, that's the whole purpose of the whole thing, all right? And special responsibilities that come with being female, both and. There's some that the other one cannot fill. I don't care how many gender changes you have, it just doesn't happen, all right? The man is created first. Bless his heart. Don't you hate to be the first one? You ever been the first one to do anything? Well, you just go for it. You go try it first. I remember one time years and years ago. Actually, it was Jerry Vines and them at First Baptist Jacksonville. They had someone in their church who had gotten converted and had a really big story. And unfortunately, she had in the prior been Miss Nude Universe. And they called Bailey Smith and said, we want you to take her and let her give her testimony, and we'll see how it goes with you, and then we might try it. We don't want to be the first. It's tough to be the first one at anything. Isn't that right? When you play a game, you the first one up. They want everybody to use you as a measuring rod. Ain't that right? Yeah, nobody wants to be first. The first man. Genesis 2 makes it clear that man was created first. He was. And then after some time, we don't really know exactly how long. It doesn't really say it's going to be 4 hours or 10 hours. It doesn't say that. Then later, woman was created. Look what Paul says to Timothy. Adam was formed first and then Eve. That's just the way it goes. He was first. All right? Is that really important? Yes, it is. It really is important. A lot of people don't think so. A lot of people don't stop and think about it. How it is important. Why did he not create them both at the same time? He could have, without question. He could have created them both out of the same lump of clay. Why did he wait? You say, well, I don't know. That's right. You ever ask that question? You ever thought about it? Why was man, male, created first? Does it have any importance? Wouldn't that not have established their equality of personhood even more clearly for anybody who tries to argue if God had made them both at the same time? Absolutely. But he's already made that clear in chapter 1:27, where he says they're both created in his image. So God's already taken care of it. It's really beside the point that somebody would try to argue that, but they do. He wants to say something more about the relationship between the man and the woman. It's why he created them with some time in between. He wants to say something. He says when it comes to their differing responsibilities, there is a firstness of responsibility that comes to the man. That's it. A responsibility, guys. That's us, all right? It is not an issue of superiority. Just because he's first, he isn't any better than a woman. God doesn't think of him more highly than the woman. Has nothing to do with that whatsoever. The issue was settled in Genesis 1:27. He created them both in his image, the same. The issue is that at that moment, a sinless man, sin hasn't entered the picture, with a childlike dependence on God, and God gave him a special role and a responsibility at that point in time. Sin wasn't in the picture. Nothing was distorted. This guy who's trusting God, God said, this is your role. This is your responsibility. He makes him the initial half of the pair to say something about his responsibility in initiating. All right? He makes him lead the way into being able to say something about the responsibility of being the leader because he was there first. David Livingston, the great missionary, he said people would write to him and say, you know, we'll come and help you in the throes of Africa. Whenever you get the roads built and everything goes well, we'll come help you. He says, if you can't come when there's no roads, I don't want you. If the only thing you're going to do is come when it gets easy, I don't want you. Somebody's got to start this thing. And it's not going to be the nicest thing. It's not going to be the easiest thing, as we're going to see what happens. Some liberals have said that the creation order really doesn't mean anything. Why? because they say, you know, the animals were created first, so if you're going to follow that, it means that the animal should lead the man. How ludicrous. But they are ludicrous. They're crazy. They don't think through the issue. What about the Hebrews? What about all the Hebrew people that gave a certain special responsibility to their firstborn? You mean they didn't have any cows until the firstborn, so they couldn't have any cows or any animals till they had the firstborn, or the animals would take place over the firstborn? You ever seen that in Scripture? No. They had all kind of flocks before their firstborn was ever born. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It never entered their mind. That's crazy. But when you're crazy, you're going to come up with something crazy. Ain't that right? You saying liberals are crazy? I'm saying liberals are crazy. They lost any kind of level baseline by which to make any kind of calculations whatsoever. Paul said what? He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this is what he said in handling the Scripture. A significance in the being the first created man. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Why would he keep saying that if it didn't have some significance? It does. What is it? The man was given the moral pattern for the Garden of Eden. Okay? What does that mean? It came with being the first there. His primary responsibility, not the only responsibility, but the primary responsibility, to receive and to teach and to be accountable for the moral pattern in the Garden of Eden. God set him up to say, okay, this is the way things go here in the garden. You need to make sure it goes that way. I'm leaving you responsible. All right? The buck has to stop somewhere, right? Just Lord help us if it's on Biden. Oh, heavens, that's a mistake. But anyway, y'all get the picture, right? No matter how many people are working, somewhere it comes down to someone says, they got to make this decision. That's what that means. He was the one. God left him in charge for it. His primary responsibility. Before a woman was created, God came to the man in verse 16. He said, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of you will die. He said, this is the main guideline you got to follow. You're responsible that this is followed in the Garden of Eden. You got that? Woman's not there yet. It's a man's responsibility. What is he saying? After the woman was created, there is no record. Same thing with Cain and Abel. When they go to offer, how do you think they know? Because their father Adam told them. We don't have it recorded in the Scripture that he knew what to take. And evidently, he did know, because when he brought the wrong thing, God held him accountable. So you can't say, well, he didn't know. God said, oh, no. You didn't do right. You go fix it and come back and I'll accept you. It's the very same thing. It's never mentioned. You said, is that an argument from silence? He gave him. He said, you know this. You'll see how it unfolds. The man was interrogated first. You know the situation. Satan comes. He tempts a woman. And whenever this happens, look what happens. After the pattern had been broken, both Adam and Eve, God came to call them account. He held them accountable. He said, what's going on here now? And even though the woman had eaten of the forbidden fruit first, who did God go to first? Not Eve. Well, she's the one who did. Why didn't you go to her first? Why didn't he go to her first? She started the mess. Why don't you go back to her first? He didn't do that. He went to Adam. Why? Because he left Adam responsible. He was the one God's looking to. You know, when certain things happen, it doesn't really matter who is down the chain. We want to look at the last one who's supposed to deal with this issue, and we go to them first. Why did you let this happen? So he goes to Adam first. He held him accountable for the failure to live by the pattern that he had given him. He said, you're supposed to do this. But the Lord God called to the man, and he said, Adam, you remember what the scripture says, that before this, they'd been walking in the cool of the day, and God had been visiting with them and talking to them. They had the conversation, and now God comes to visit with them this day, and he can't find them. They're running and hiding. Now they're ashamed. So he calls out to him, and God says, Eve, where are you? No, he didn't. Adam, where are you, Adam? Why didn't he call Eve? Because he left Adam responsible. Adam was the one he's going to call on first. Is there a specific significance with the first being Adam, the man? Absolutely. Absolutely. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? He was held primarily accountable. Why would God come to the man first and call him to give an account when the woman was the first one to commit the sin and lead him into the sin, especially since she ate first? The natural answer is that God gave to the man a primary responsibility for the moral life that goes on inside the garden. That's it. Man has a primary accountability for the failure to live by it. Dads, let me bring this home to you, all right? It doesn't really matter what in the world goes on in your family. When all this is over, God's going to ask you, what did you do about that? You understand that? You say, well, I can't control them. I didn't say that. And just like Eve's going to be held accountable, so is everybody else in your family. But when all this is over and we all have to give account for everything, he's going to come to the men of the house first. And he says, what did you do about this to prevent this from happening? And there's no excuses. Well, he tried to make some. They just don't work, right? God does hold the woman accountable for her actions. You said she got off scot-free. Oh, no. No. You ladies that have had children, any bad experience there, pain-wise? No. They don't get off free. She is a personal, morally accountable being in the very image of God. She has to give an account, too. And what man does or fails to do does not relieve her personal, individual responsibility to know and obey God, just like the children. Every child in a family will give an account. Even after dad has to give an account, mom and every child afterwards still has to give an account for what they did and what they didn't do, because they all get to make a choice, always. That's the way it is. But in their relationship to each other, God looks to the man. He says, had you been the moral and spiritual leader that you ought to have been, would this have happened this way? Where were you? You were at the racetrack, or you were at a golf course, or you're on a boat, or you're in a tree. Where were you, Adam? Where were you? God brought man into the scene first as the leader. He entrusted him first as a moral pattern in the garden. Then he called him account for the failure of disobedience. Why? Because he left him responsible. You say, well, he can't make them. I didn't say that. God didn't say that. Well, let's go ahead. Even though man and woman bear equal individual responsibility for God, they still have to own their own disobedience, all right? That's what it means to be created in his image, all of us. In his image, have to give account for ourselves, regardless of how bad a father we had, or how bad a mother we had, or how good a father we had, or how good a mother we had. Doesn't really matter. We will give an account because we're made in God's image. You will have to answer that one day, all right? All of us. Nevertheless, in a relationship to each other, man bears a greater responsibility for leadership than the woman does. Why? You know, that's the way God made it. You know, if you invent the game, you get to make the rules. Ain't that right? Hello? Any of y'all ever made up your own game? Can you imagine what it was like for that woman to make up Quidditch in Harry Potter? She just made up a game. Looked pretty fun if we could fly, right? Can't fly, so it's irrelevant, right? But when you make up the game, you set the rules. God could have done anything he wanted to. He said, this is where it's going to be. This is where it's going to be. Well, I don't like that. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. The pattern before the fall, let's back up just a little bit. This is the way God meant for it to be before the sin entered the world. A sinless man, full of love, in his tender, strong, moral leadership in relation to the woman. He's leading for the woman because he's looking out for her best interests. He's taking care of her. That's his responsibility. That's it. No sin in the picture. A sinless woman, full of love and her joyful, responsive support of her man's leadership, husband's leadership. No belittling from the man, no groveling from the woman. Can you imagine that universe? Huh? Maybe you don't do that, but you know someone who does that. Huh? Hello? Yeah. Don't you love it? You just try to stay away from them, right? Two intelligent, humble, God-created beings living out life in a beautiful harmony. That's the way it was. Unique and different responsibilities. Now, what happens? Satan comes along. He knows that this is a beautiful arrangement that God has made between man and woman. He knows God's pattern is designed for the best of mankind. When I say mankind in general, men, women, children, everybody. He knows that, all right? But Satan hates God, and he hates us, and he's a liar from the very beginning. So what is it that he does? He attacks the woman first. You ever thought about that? Why did he go to the woman first? He assaults God's pattern by attacking the woman instead of the man. If God means for man to bear special responsibility for leadership in the garden, then Satan will do what he can do to destroy that pattern. So what does he do? He doesn't go to the responsible leader that God left in charge. He goes to the other one. You say, well, why did Satan approach the woman first? You ever thought about that? Why didn't he go to Adam first? He's not that smart. You know, you heard that story where God and Adam were talking, and Adam was honest. He said, God, why did you make her so beautiful? He said, well, just because, so you would be attracted to her. He said, okay, that's good. He said, well, why did you make her so loving and kind? He said, well, so that you would love her. He said, but God, why did you make her so dumb? So she would love you. That's why. Works both ways, all right? Why didn't he go to the woman first? Think about that sometime today. Why didn't he do that? Why? Why did he draw her into the discussion first and make her the spokesperson for the couple? See this? She's the spokesperson for the couple. Why did he lure her into being the moral guardian of the garden? Because that's exactly what Adam was. He didn't go to him. He goes to the woman. Was it because she was easier prey? Was it because she was gullible, more gullible than man? Or could the answer be this? Satan drew the woman in first and made her the spokesman and the moral guardian for the garden because that's exactly what should not have been. And he didn't do that with threw a monkey wrench into the whole deal, so that's what he did. You know, he'd been around a lot longer than Adam and Eve, right? You know that, right? He'd been hating God for a long time. He knows exactly what goes on. He knows how to get us. Same thing. He spurns the order that God has established and simply ignores the man and takes up his subtle battle with the woman. Uses half-truths. You know, it sounds appealing. Oh, no, God didn't say that. He told him a half-truth. He told her a half-truth, not a whole lie. Then he goes on. In doing that, he makes man into exactly what he wants him to be. A silent, withdrawn, weak, fearful, passive wimp. Basically, that's what he is today. Everybody runs over him. If you're a white male, now you're the scum of the earth. That's the way the woke society says we are. And if you're white, you ought to apologize for being white. Like some of those crazy representative senators, have they lost their mind? They apologize for being white. I didn't do anything to anybody else 200 years ago. I'm sorry it happened, but, you know, I didn't do that. I might have done that if I'd been alive then. You see where we are? Every TV show that a man's involved, what do they portray him as? Some doom cough that can't make a decision. Woman runs the show. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. You know it. How about Good Luck Charlie? Y'all remember that? That was a fun show. What did they make? What was his name anyway? The dad. Anybody know Good Luck Charlie? The mom ran the show, and everybody looked at him as just a buffoon. He just gave them the money. That's the way they portrayed him. That's the way it is now. Why? This started way back over there. A masculine wimp is a dangerous person, whether he's in the Congress or a senator or the president. We're in trouble. And just in general society. And we wonder why we have a mess? Why? Because that's what happened. Why do you think Satan did it that way? Because he knew exactly what it was going to take to destroy the family. If the family's destroyed, then everything else is gone. And that's exactly where we're going. If you've seen the family deteriorate, one moment he's passive and follows his woman. You know, she pours sugar in his ear and says, wilt thou? And he wilted. Right? He follows her along, and then the next minute he's blaming her for the problem they're in. Boy, he's a wimp, ain't he? Would anybody ever stand up and tell the truth about what's going on? Not him. He's angry and blames her. Blames God first. And well, it's your fault because actually you made her and gave her to me. Satan says, now I have created such a confusion of roles, they'll never sort this out. And we haven't, by and large. True Orthodox Christianity, in some avenues, see it. A lot of Christian avenues, they don't see it. They bought into this whole woke thing a long time ago before it got to where it is now. Oh, everybody's the same. There's really no difference. Hello? There's no difference? Oh, yeah. They will look at the abusive man. Is this what the news says? And they'll, you know, he's a caveman. He walks around in a big club and he beats up on his wife all the time. That's what a caveman did. How do they know that? Was there a video camera on the caveman? Did anybody tweet the caveman? No. Why? So where'd that come from? And they tell him to be more passive with the women. If we get any more passive, where are we going? We're already on the bottom. And they tell the woman she's got to be more assertive. Hello? More assertive? Remember, this is a curse. Remember what it says? We'll get to it in a few weeks. Your husband will try to rule over you, and you will try to throw that rule off. It's what we have here. Same thing. That's where the problem is. Always. That's exactly what it was then. And they will never get to the root of the problem. We'll talk about everything else on the peripheral. We won't ever get back to the problem that, you know, really God's given us some guidelines. And dads and fathers, you're supposed to try to do everything you can in love and mercy to make sure those things are followed. Without being a tyrant, without being a dictator, but you're the one that's supposed to make sure everybody understands this is where we are, this is what's going to happen, and this is what we're going to do. And as long as you live in our house, that's what you're going to get to do, as long as they're not abusing somebody or something crazy like that. And just be free and say, you know, if you don't like this, no hard feelings, but you can go buy your own meals. What? I remember we were sitting at a dinner table in North Carolina, and one of the families, great family, and the girl was about, I don't know, she was probably 22 or 3, and evidently she'd been out late the night before, and we were sitting there at Sunday dinner and talking, and they brought that up. What do you think about this? I said, I'll tell you exactly what I think about that. As long as it's in your house, if they tell you to be home at 12, you should be in home at 12, or you need to get you another place to live. Ooh. That's exactly right. If they're paying the bills and you can't abide by the rules, you need to get out. And somebody needs to stand enough ground to say, we love you, but we're going to miss you. This is the way it is. That's what we're talking about. Having the guidelines that you love them and the things that you're insisting on take place is for their welfare. Not just to be a bully and not just to be a police. That's not what he was about. He was supposed to look out because he knew Satan was coming. And God said, you need to watch out for this. I'm leaving you in charge. Wow. God goes right to the root of the problem. And he says to the man, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Curses the ground because of you. Thank you, Adam, for pigweeds. Thank you, Adam, for Johnson grass. Red ants. You ever think about that? That's where all that came from. The ground was cursed. Adam, you were listening when you should have been leading. Wow. Kind of convicting, ain't it, guys? Yes, it is. Supposed to be. God's not confused about what Satan did. He knew it was coming. That's why he said, Adam, I'm going to leave you in charge of this. Need to watch out for this now because it's going to come. Where was he? Was he off hitting apples with a knotted up log, or was he fishing somewhere? What was he doing? Where was he when all this happened? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he wasn't there, wherever he was. And he doesn't want us to be confused either. He created man first. He gave him moral pattern for the garden first, and he held him accountable when failure first came, and then he punished him for allowing this to happen. But God's our enemy. And Satan lured man and woman into a great reversal at the fall. Wow. All of that's why we're where we are now. That's it. The thing is, do we see it and see the answer to fix it? We'll start this next week. an historical male-female relationship problem. Anybody agree with that? Even if you don't have one, I guarantee you, you got plenty of people in your family who they do have it because of this issue right here, what we're talking about. You know, why is that? Because everybody wants their way. And that basically why that's where wars come from, right? Both sides think they're right. Everybody can't be right. Everybody can't be right. Somebody's got to be wrong. Somebody's got to have enough love and understanding to say, let's see how this works to make sure it's right. You said, this is not the most encouraging Valentine's message. We have a problem, and we know how to fix it. Christ is how we fix it. Christianity is to portray that. This is how it comes back together. Let's pray that we'll make the right decisions to follow God's guidelines, regardless of the mistakes we've already made, because we've already made enough, right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you love us, that you forgive us, that you have mercy, you're patient with us. Lord, wherever we've been, help us start today at looking at your word and allowing you to show us exactly what we need to do as a leader in the family, as a follower in the family, as a child in the family, that we'd do it the right way so that you'll be glorified and the family unit can be what it's supposed to be, showing your glory to a lost world. Father, we thank you that we can call on you and you'll help us. Thank you that you forgive us and that we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.